Well, if you notice on the platform, the banners that are in front, it's our theme for the year. It simply just says, back to basics, back to basics, back to basics. There's one out there in the front as you come in as well. That's the theme for our year, back to basics. I think we need this train of thought. Our society is getting so far away from the things of God, we just somehow need to get back to what is basic. And so this morning, I want to deal with back to basics, part number one, our thoughts. Our thoughts. As we think about that, let me ask you this question. Have you grown in your relationship with Christ since you trusted Him as your personal Savior? Everybody think about that question just for a moment as we start the message this morning. Have I grown in my relationship with Christ since the day I trusted Him as my Savior? Have you grown in your relationship with Christ since the day you trusted Him as your Savior? Are you still excited about the Christian life? Are you excited about the life that you have in the Lord? Or have you sort of drifted from the Word of God? And have you grown stagnant? One of the things I think that happens to a lot of us is that we just kind of grow stale. We grow, but we don't grow how we should grow. And we kind of grow stagnant. If you are to become what God wants you to become and to do what God wants you to do in life, and that's what life is really all about, there's some areas of our life that must be brought under discipline. And today I want to deal with one of those areas. It's called our thoughts, how we think. The power of thoughts, Roman numeral 1, the power of our thoughts. You see, the mind is actually the control tower of our life. Our thoughts govern our relationship to God. But our thoughts also govern our relationship to others. Our thoughts guide our relationship as far as success or failure. Our thoughts actually govern the direction of our life. And fellas and ladies, I got to thinking about that, gentlemen, ladies. And the more I thought about that, I thought about this. We talk about wanting to be godly or godliness. We want godliness in our life. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that godliness is the result of thinking rightly. Godliness is the result of thinking rightly. In other words, it's thinking like God thinks. You can't do any better than thinking the way God thinks or thinking rightly the way that God would think about something. That's how you and I need to grow in our lives with our God, is to think God's thoughts. Now, the problem with our thoughts, Roman numeral 2, we do have some problem with our thinking. And I want you to know that Satan is invading all of our homes today with one objective, and that is to divide the home and ultimately to destroy the home. The devil wants to destroy your bodies. I believe that all of you would believe me today when I make the statement that he wants to destroy your bodies, and he wants to somehow pervert your minds and bring anxiety and frustrations and fear into everybody's emotions. And I'm telling you, he's doing pretty well. He's bringing all kinds of havoc in our minds and in our emotions, and he's perverting our minds, and he's causing frustrations, and he's causing fear, and he's getting somehow into people's emotions. He wants your spirit, he wants my spirit, to be so absolutely and totally wiped out so that we cannot perceive the mind of God. That's one of the reasons the devil's fighting so hard. He wants you to be so mixed up and so messed up that you cannot perceive the very mind of God. It's exactly where he's at. He's trying to fool with your emotions. He's trying to fool with your thought patterns. He's bringing frustrations your way. He's bringing anxieties your way. He's bringing all sorts of trouble your way so you cannot perceive the very mind of God or the Spirit of God or the way of God, or you can't even find the will of God, so that your life is floundering. And I'm telling you today, like no other day, people's lives are floundering. And not only are lives floundering, but our churches then are floundering because the people who make up our churches are floundering. The devil's had some real success here. I think I should tell you that we're in a war. This is a warfare once you live for Jesus Christ. I wonder why we're so weak. It's because we're so ignorant of how the devil works. War is bloody, by the way. War is wicked. The influence of our past. When we were saved, God gave us a new spirit. He gave us a new life. When we were saved, he gave us a new beginning. Now listen to me, everybody. When you got saved, you wanted to tell everybody about it. You were so excited. Am I right or wrong? You were so thrilled. I just got saved. I trusted the Lord. I know exactly what it means now to have trusted Christ. And I want to tell everybody about my salvation experience. And you wanted to call people and tell people and talk to people and give them information about what happened to you. You know why? Because God gave you a new spirit, a new life, a new beginning. But he didn't. Now listen, he did not blot out the past from our mind. Why? Because God wants us to use the good and the bad of our past in ministering, I believe, to other people. We will be sensitive to their needs because of our past experiences. The more God uses us, the more Satan will attempt to harass us. We are at war. The moment you got saved, you got in a heavy war. And the devil's fighting you every step of the way. The wrong input. When we allow what we allow into our minds each day, what we allow into our mind greatly affects our thoughts. That's why you hear preachers talk about not so much TV, no movies. That's why. It's not that they're trying to make you somebody you don't want to be, but the thought patterns that come into your mind are the things you see and hear every day of your life. What you allow into your home, what you allow your little eyes to read, what you allow your little ears to hear. There's a little song that we sang as kids, didn't we? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. Help me. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you... Oh, be careful, little... what you hear. Now hold it. Why are we teaching our kids that? Oh, be careful, little kids, about what your eyes see, your ears hear, your tongue says, and on feet where they go. Why is all that being talked about? Why do we teach that? Because whatever comes into your life influences your thought patterns. Now that's what makes television so bad. The television itself is not bad. It's what we allow to come into our lives through the television that hurts us. Now, there's an instrument that's even, I think, worse than the television. That's a computer. And the iPhone. Kids have them all over the place, and they're looking at things they shouldn't. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. But they're looking. Oh, be careful. They're listening. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above. Listen, it's more dangerous. You say, but preacher, I have a magazine in my house, but it's all right. You better check that magazine. Because it's not only television, computers, iPhones, iPads, or all those technology things. It's also little simple magazines. You see, what we allow into our mind each day greatly affects our thoughts. Even the newspaper. I know a lot of folks just take pride in being able to read the newspaper. You need to be careful what your eyes read, even there. The results of wrong input. Ungodly input creates an appetite or an acceptance for things of the world. You let a teenage boy watch some kind of filth on the TV set, it won't be long until his mind will be off of God and on something else. I've never in my life seen so much, and I'm not trying to talk against TV or iPads or iPhones. I've got them all. But I'm not trying to talk against them. I'm trying to say we got to watch what we see, what we hear, what we allow into our homes. For the Father up above is looking down in love, but the devil also is very interested in confusing your thoughts. Back to basics, our thought patterns, our thoughts. What we allow into our minds. Ungodly input creates an appetite or acceptance of the things of the world. Things that were once sinful to us become just a different set of values today. You know, why is it being talked about today so much that, and Frank said that the great hymns of the faith, and I love to sing the great hymns of the faith, it's not because I'm in my 60s that I love to sing the hymns of the faith. I know young people are in their 20s who like to sing the hymns of the faith. But if you're not careful, the whole church world is saying, away with the hymns. Let's have these other songs that don't mean much of nothing and sing them 30 times just so you get some kind of an emotional high, but it doesn't mean a thing. And now they put us as old fogies and old doo-doos for nothing, and we aren't interested in what the God of heaven wants. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a reason why we listen to good music. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. It is important. Now, if it was wrong 10 years ago, certain things in your life, it's probably still wrong. If God convicted you 10, 15 years ago, he probably still has the same conviction. However, we have lessened it because we let so many things come into our thought patterns, and we've changed how we think now, and we don't think things are as bad as one time we thought they used to be. And I'm not going to delineate what those things are, but everybody knows exactly where I'm headed, that there are so many things in our Christian way of living and how we live and how we conduct ourselves, and we say, well, it's okay today, but it wasn't okay some years ago. And I'm saying it's probably still not okay today. We've just gotten used to the world because we've let little things come in that we see and hear and talk about. And all of a sudden we think it's now okay. Those things that were once sinful become just a different set of values. Ungodly input can create a spirit of hostility towards the things of God. Now get this, please. That's the reason why some folks, when you talk to them about the things of God, especially those folks who used to have a stand, who used to take a stand, who used to live for God, who now have compromised, that's why they get so angry and so hostile towards the things of God today. I want nothing to do with that kind of a church. I want nothing to do with that kind of a preacher. And I don't want anybody to preach at me from the King James Bible. Man, give me just any Bible is fine. Now, they get hostile about it even. They get angry. All you people and all of your standards. Why does that happen? Why do people get angry? Why do they get so frustrated? Because they're now away from God. And they're trying to justify their particular stand. And they get hostile. Ungodly input can create that hostility. When we develop an appetite for ungodly things, godly things begin to irritate us because they make us feel guilty. We begin to edit God then out of our lives. And all of a sudden, a stronghold develops. Now, in the Word of God, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Christine, I did not have that on the sheet, but I would like to have you get that for me if you will. If you'll get your Bible and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, and Christine will get it back there on the screen. We're going to talk about an area of our life that has never been fully, totally committed to Jesus Christ. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3. Start right there. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Now look at the next phrase. To the pulling down of strongholds. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody will eventually have a stronghold that you must deal with and that you must pull down. That verse says, I am going to pull down these strongholds. And then it says in verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing it into captivity, every thought, to the obedience of Christ. Oh, how we need a revival of getting back to the basics concerning how we think. Our thoughts. What is a stronghold, preacher? It's an area of your life that has never fully and totally been committed to the Lord Jesus. And Satan either has a toehold that is going to become a stronghold, or your life is already experiencing a stronghold. It is an area of weakness in my life. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl has some area. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody here has some area of weakness. We all do. We all have clay feet. A stronghold is an area of your life where Satan has found some way, some means where he has gotten in and set up a little area of warfare. In Ephesians chapter 6, and you know what it says there in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about the armor of God. And note in that armor of God, there's a piece of equipment that's called the shield of faith. I've preached a lot about this shield of faith. But the shield of faith is big, and I think really the shield of faith is like, it's what covers your whole body. And you can stand behind that shield of faith. And what does the Bible say about that shield? It says that you can use that shield of faith to ward off the fiery darts of the enemy. The enemy, you see, every day of your life, the enemy is going to flip fiery darts at you to try to discourage you, to try to defeat you, to try to take you down. Every day he's going to fire darts at you if you're not saved, to keep you from getting saved. Behind that shield of faith, I raise up that shield of faith, and I am protected from the fiery darts of the enemy. I need that shield of faith. You need that shield of faith. A stronghold is an area where Satan has gotten in, though. That shield of faith, I can hide behind. I'm totally covered. But that stronghold is an area where the devil knows I'm weak and I could go down. He knows, in all of us, we have those areas. Now remember something about the devil. The devil is not omniscient. In other words, he doesn't know everything. So how does he find out, preacher, about my weakness? Listen closely. He watches us. He watches us. He watches where you're tempted. He watches where you say, ooh. He listens to what you say. He's not omniscient. He does not know everything. He simply watches and listens to your daily conversation. And then he detects that area of weakness. And then he begins to set up a stronghold. And in that stronghold, he sets up a little castle in your mind. And from that little castle in your mind, he shoots out little imps to discourage you, to frustrate you. He knows exactly what makes you mad. He knows exactly what trips your trigger. He knows exactly the kind of people that you don't need to be around, but he causes to have you be around. He knows what you shouldn't listen to, but what you will listen to, because he's heard you listen to it before. He just simply watches you. I got to thinking about that. A stronghold is an area of thinking in which somehow we allow the devil to come in. I want to show you something, though. The devil cannot force his way into my mind if I'm a believer. It's my private space. But Satan does something to the unbeliever. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. To the mind of the unbeliever. To the mind of the unbeliever, Satan blinds the mind of the unbeliever. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, it doesn't surprise me at all that unbelievers don't want to go to church. It doesn't surprise me at all that they don't think there's anything wrong with their life. I'm fine. It doesn't surprise me at all. But look, because the devil blinds their eyes. He blinds their minds. They don't even know there's something wrong with them. And to hear them talk, that's what they say. I'm fine. I'm doing good. Nothing wrong with me. The devil is fooling with their minds. And he's blinded their minds. So that makes sense to all of us, doesn't it? What about the Christian? Let's go to another verse of Scripture found in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 3. What does the devil do to believers? Now, he can't blind believers because believers already know. But he does deceive the believer. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve. Eve knew what to do and what not to do, but she was beguiled by the serpent through his subtlety. Listen, the devil is so smart. He is not some big giant that's going to come and say, I'm out to get you. That's not how he does. He is so subtle. He's going to make you fall in 2012 if he can. He's going to do his best to get into your thought patterns, into your mind. He's going to do the best he can to get you discouraged about church and serving God and hearing preaching and singing hymns to the faith. He's going to do what he can. Why? Because he's so subtle. Look at the scripture. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Don't let your mind be corrupted. The gospel is so wonderful. The gospel is so simple. The gospel is so precious. But the devil's trying to take our minds. Can you see it happening? We need to get back to basics about our thoughts. Get our thoughts right. Programming our thoughts. Now we already know that a stronghold develops in the life of many people. And they experience so much. It begins to lodge in their mind. And as the devil sets up that little stronghold of a thought pattern or whatever else that they used to think was so wrong and so bad, now, that's not so bad. And the old devil sets up that little stronghold and they begin to live with it longer and longer. They experience it over and over again. And you know what happens? It becomes a part of them eventually. It becomes a part of their will. It becomes a part of their emotion. And they experience it over and over in their mind. And then that's what we call a satanic stronghold. And the God of heaven says, those strongholds will develop, but you need to have the expertise of pulling them down. Now, it's not a sad thing if a stronghold develops. I don't want a stronghold to develop in my life, and I'm sure you don't either. But once we recognize that stronghold, we must pull it down. Number three, programming our thoughts. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, we're going to look at some verses of Scripture here just real quickly, and we'll be finished. But I want you to see, number one, my point under Roman numeral 3 is simply this. We must acknowledge that I have the capacity to think right. Everybody in this building has the capacity to think right. The devil doesn't want you to think about your sin. He doesn't want you to think about your accountability to God. He wants to keep you in la-la land so you don't even think about it. That's why the devil doesn't want most of us to go to a church where the preacher preaches the book. Because he just wants us to kind of be happy and at ease in Zion. And everything is going wonderful and everything is sweet and it's all well and good. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil's trying to set up some strongholds. Don't let him do it. Now look at that verse of Scripture. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But, hold it right there. Have you seen that verse? But we have the mind of Christ. Don't you let the devil lie to you? Oh, I don't know what to do. I'm so confused. I'm so mixed up. I don't know. My mind's a mess. Get your mind in the book. We have the mind of Christ. By the way, what is the mind of Christ? Right there it is. That's it. Right there. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have. The day you got saved, the mind of Christ was given to you. You have the mind of Christ. Let's get back to basics about how we think. Let's be overcomers this year. Let's be victorious people. Let's not listen to all kinds of talk and jibber-jabber from other people who don't know the book, who don't live by the book. Let's live by the book. Get our thoughts established in the precious Word of God. Number two, go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Seek spiritual things. Did you hear me? Seek spiritual things. This year, change it. It's all about making money. It's not all about work. It's all about play. It's all about golf. It's all about baseball or football or Ohio State or Michigan. It's about seeking spiritual things. Look at the verse. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Listen, if you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above this year, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above. Don't set your affections on things of the earth. Set your affections on things above. That's such a powerful verse. Verse number 3. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. What a God we serve. Number 3. Sift thoughts through the Word of God and the will of God. Sift thoughts through the Word of God and the will of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Now listen, if I'm going to do anything, I need to sift all my thinking through the Word. If you want to think right, you have the mind of Christ. Sift it through the Word of God. Every bit of it. And the will of God. Number 4, choose to refuse some thoughts. Just choose to refuse some thoughts. Do you know you have the ability to do that? Turn with me to Psalm 101. Now look at this. Do you have the right to refuse some thoughts? Should you say to the devil, get out of here. Get out of my life. I don't want you in my life. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Devil, just get out of my life. I'm not going to let that thought be predominant in my life. Now, so far, as we program our thoughts, we acknowledge I have the capacity to think right. Do you have the capacity to think right? Yes or no? Do you have? Do you have the capacity? Why do you have the capacity to think right? Because you have the mind of Christ. Is that right? I have within me the capacity to think right. How do I know that? Because I have in my head the mind of Christ. Right there in that book. I have that ability. I must acknowledge I can think right. I don't have to think in error. I can seek spiritual things. I can sift through thoughts through the Word of God. I can sift thoughts through the will of God. I can choose to refuse some thoughts. And then last, renew your mind by feasting on the Word of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Just kind of renew your mind by feasting on the Word of God. Here's what it says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Be careful how we think. All the devil wants to do is set up a little shop in your head. And he's been really successful with lots of folks. Set up a little shop in how you think about things. And if you're not careful, you'll accept a worldview rather than a God view. And you'll be thinking like the world thinks more than how God thinks. And then you'll reason with yourself, well, I think I ought to do this or do that because I've been thinking this way. But you get back to the book. You get back to thinking God's thoughts, God's way. I surrender my life to God today, my thought patterns. I'm going to think differently. I'm going to work differently. God is looking for people who are thinking His way and looking at things from His viewpoint. That's who God's looking for. Are you going to be that Christian this year, 2012, where I'm going to get my thoughts back together? I'm going to identify the areas of weakness. By the way, can you do that? Listen closely. Can you identify the areas of weakness in your mind or in your life? Can you identify a time when your life, when you're more susceptible to the weaknesses than any other time in your life? Does the devil have a pocket of resistance in your life? We need to have a deepening understanding of God's Word. Oh God, help us today to fight against these little castles of resistance, stubborn resistance called strongholds that I've not surrendered to God just yet. And get that to God today. Back to basics, our thinking. Let's stand together, shall we?